Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
And we have wholeheartedly and disgracefully failed to get to the first match of WrestleMania 23.
I mean, I think it's actually really annoying because it's like, you know, I just went and watched it actually last week and it took actually quite a lot of time. And I was just hoping you might get to what you say you're going to do.
Talk about the Irish whip the wrestler did.
Look, this is a ticking time bomb of a show. We are going to catch up. Oh, it's like five episodes taking the piss for each wrestling. Yeah, I know, but we're going to catch up.
Yeah,
right.
And we're busy. How many podcasts does Mark do? How many podcasts do I do? All right.
This is I think I've said this before, but this is the only podcast I actually would say I do.
And yet. I didn't know that you liked wrestling for about 8 years of our working career.
Yeah, well, when people say, they say, oh, so what's your podcast? Because people do sort of say stuff like that. Especially when you're friends and they go, oh, yeah, Mark does like a podcast that's, you know, kind of good. Mm. And then people go, oh, what's it about? And I sort of go, it's called Wrestle Me. And they always go, And I always go, yeah, it's sort of about how, and I explain it away. And what I shouldn't do that. I should go, it's a podcast dedicated to the memory of rollable fucking rocker. and then just like, if they don't know who that is, I don't want
lay
to
lay a smackdown on their candy ass. Just do it.
It's me. This year my wife and I decided not to buy each other presents.
Yes.
Because we had a baby, and the idea of having to do
big,
something
big
else is just is just, oh yeah. My god. Anyway, so
I mean, don't fall for that, Mark. Please,
no.
Please get her something.
I'm
crying out loud. Jesus Christ.
Well I on Christmas Day I thought, well, she probably will have got me something.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, I feel a bit bad because I really haven't got anything. Mm. Anyway, she got me nothing. So
right. Cool.
I think we must have been seven in the evening on Boxing Day. Straight to eBay, bought an 18 DVD set of the best of Rollerball Rocco and Brent.
Yay!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Mark!
Rollerball Rocco is the best. yes, his podcast actually sort of like, people really like it though. Yeah, no. We're just talking about Rollerball Rocco.
I didn't know that Mark liked wrestling until I went to his house.
Mm.
And I think he just moved in.
Yeah.
And you had to
number one junkyard dog towers.
You do live near a dog parlour, a dog.
Yeah, I do.
Parlor.
Yeah, I would. And if you took a junkyard dog there, it would come out looking like Fifi the French Poodle.
Very pretty one.
I can't even remember which wrestler had Fifi the French Poodle, but I mean, that is niche.
Oh, wow. So they they did the dog thing again?
It's a podcast about Fifi the French Poodle, if you don't know what that means.
Dogs in wrestling. We had the match, doghouse match.
That would be good.
Dogs in wrestling.
That would be good. To do a spin-off of
junkyard
this that no one would imagine us to do.
Just the dogs of wrestling.
All things we could do. Wrestle dogs.
Guys, pitching. Look, I'm sure you'd kick in a couple of shekels for us. For the dogs of WrestleMania.
You've been waiting for Mark and Pete to tackle the biggest, the best, the Japanese, the WCW. Well, they're not. Instead, they're doing a long series about the animals of wrestling.
LED tech in wrestling.
What would a cat be if it was a wrestler? This thing writes itself. Is there a cat? Battle Cat. It would be Battle Cat.
Battle Cat.
Yeah, from 1990. 91.
He was a bit arsey about our name.
That's Muscle Cat.
Oh, Muscle
another
Cat. Sorry.
Cat. Another cat.
Another
yeah,
cat. A lot of cats.
I thought he could have handled that nicer.
Yep.
considering we literally had broadcast the phrase Muscle Cat a long time before he ever came around. And it was probably recorded. Right. Money in the bank time. Yeah. This is the traditional match where you have to grab the briefcase
yes.
to get a future title shot.
Mm.
Too many people in this match.
There are so many people in this match. But when it started, I was like, oh, good lineup.
Yeah.
Is this CM Punk's first match for me?
I think it may be, yes.
I think it is, yeah. He looks like a BJ. Where did that come from? He looks like a Pound Stretcher B Jams version of Mike Patton from Faith No More.
There's recently been
a
wrestler.
Like a big BJ.
A wrestler who's been sort of like threatened or certainly legal instigation has happened for doing a T-shirt of the wrestling under Jim Cornette, where he's been sort of beaten up, and it's sort of, you know, it's about how Jim Cornette doesn't like a lot of independent wrestling in the modern era.
Okay.
And Jim Cornette was like, well, that's my likeness and my name.
Yeah.
And it's a really horrible T-shirt of me being beaten
probably
up.
Probably should have known better.
Those are sort of my trademarks in that it's my name and my face. And they should have done. But I don't see any problem in having the T-shirt CM Punk is a BJ.
BJ Punk is a CM.
the oddly, this period, I remember watching wrestling at this period and sort of going, oh, it's really stale. You know, they're all the same old people. Mm. And actually, when you look at this lineup, it's funny, I think, as well, this WrestleMania, it is one that is undervalued. And it's just because I think at the time, wrestling was sort of boring. It was a bit in a doldrum and it was just not very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's only when you see it totally out of context that you go, the opening match here, A, they've got eight people, which I think is too many. It's not like you sort of go, oh, they filled that with a load of fucking jobbers.
Yeah.
You know, it's Jeff Hardy versus CM Punk versus King Booker versus Finlay versus Matt Hardy versus Randy Orton versus Edge versus Mr. Kennedy. Now, when I think
Queen Charmel's in there.
Queen Charmel, yeah.
Queen Charmel.
When I think of 2007 WWE, I think of Mr. Kennedy because he seemed to sum up these people who were sort of there and you were like, oh, God, you know, yeah, he's good on the mic, he's fine in the ring, but I don't care.
But I just thought, Fit Finlay and Mr. Kennedy, get rid of one of them. They look identical for me.
Yes, yeah.
One's a bit heavier than the other.
Liz was saying,
that's about it.
Because I used to watch wrestling all the time at this period. And Liz was saying, when you said to me, do you remember Mr. Kennedy? She said, I pictured Finlay. I knew I was picturing Finlay, but I couldn't work out who Mr. Kennedy was.
Yeah.
It's only when you see the two of them together, you go, shit, they do look much too similar because it's just, this is a mess. Don't put them in the same bit together. Booker is doing his King of the Ring gimmick. You know, he'd won the King of the Ring tournament and he was really good in this role. At the time, watching it, I hated it. I thought it was stupid and boring. Watching him now come out with his attempt at a British accent where he would sort of go, King Booker. I mean, it was just like avant-garde theatre.
Like a yardie. It's like a Jamaican yardie.
And you get CM Punk coming out, and CM Punk is as over as anyone at this WrestleMania.
Right, yeah.
The number of signs for Punk, you know, Punk is God, I just came to see CM Punk, all this. They go mad for him. He's a fresh talent. And the WWE, especially like Vince McMahon, he hadn't engineered Punk getting over with the crowd. Punk just did it by having sort of good passion. He looked like a A-list wrestler. It's just something about the way he moved and people got behind him. But because they hadn't specifically wanted people at that time to immediately get behind this guy, they always slightly sort of stifled him. They were annoyed by the fact that he was popular.
This happens again and again, though, doesn't it?
Again, they've signed him. He's got a contract.
Yeah.
They're using him. Don't be annoyed that one of your employees is doing a better job than you thought he would do. Don't punish him for doing that.
And he looks quite heavy, doesn't he? He's big at this point.
He does. And he looks, oddly, again, you know, this is one of those things that you take for granted when you've watched it from this period. It's only when you see him at this sort of period that you go, gosh, he looks incredibly different to how he would ultimately become, you know.
The long hair, it's... You said it before, I'll say it again. Hair is so important in wrestling.
It is.
The lack of it, the haircut. Once he starts doing the, once he starts getting the old...
he gets his head shaved and, you know, and certainly when he started as well, he had bleach blonde hair. And that was a sort of good image. And this is a sort of weird bit where I think he's not bleach blonding his hair because that would look like other people.
He like looks like he's in the
Finlay and Ken Kennedy. Everyone should have dressed like them. But I think there is an attempt that he was going, well, I have to stick out by, you know, and I'm a bit emo because I'm straight edge. Like, look, black flag. And so he's got the dyed black hair and the little sort of, you know, lip
rings. Tim Armstrong from Rancid.
There is such a good thing to be written about the connection between, like, you know, metal and wrestlers. And there's a weird thing where most of the wrestlers who are really into metal, I can take or leave.
Well, I mean, Jeff Hardy sort of rocks up doing some terrible dancing. And obviously the last time I saw Jeff Hardy was in his TNA debacle.
So, so 4 years later than this.
Right, okay. So when he comes in doing that dancing, I thought, hello. Hello.
Here's a little preview.
Hello.
Oh, if only we could have heard a little bit of Peroxy Y Gen as his theme tune here. The odd sort of one here is Finlay, who is a guy who they'd brought in really to train the female athletes, the divas, to basically to put matches together in an attempt to make sure these models could go out there and have something resembling a wrestling match. He turned out to be a fantastically brilliant teacher, and he really sort of was slightly responsible for totally rejuvenating the women's division, Finlay. A lot of the big names who would later come through just give nothing but credit to him. What had happened is they were so low on talent at this point, really, that Finlay, who was, I think, in his 50s pretty much when this match is going on, he ended up becoming a semi-main eventer. And they were just like, do you want to go out there and do something? And before they knew it, you know, he's got Hornswoggle and he's suddenly become this sort of like great character where he's just really aggressive, super aggressive, and he's also got a leprechaun.
Oh, so it's Hornswoggle... I was going to say belonging to him. It's Hornswoggle his friend? Because Disney transferred the guy with the ginger hair later on.
Well, Hornswoggle, once they, the original use of Hornswoggle was as Finlay's sidekick. And there was always a sense of he was Finlay's son. And they had a connection in that way. Later on, of course, in the continuity of WWE, it would be revealed that Hornswoggle was Vince McMahon's son.
Of course,
I mean, it's the obvious thing. But the Hornswoggle, once they sort of, I think Finlay had his career was winding down.
Yeah.
They thought there was mileage still in Hornswoggle. They were just moving him around and they just didn't really know what to do with him. He still is an active performer. He still goes out there. I think it wasn't that long ago he had a match with Nick Gage, which I have a thing about Nick Gage now, which I think is that you secretly would like to see a lot more Nick Gage matches.
Yes, I would. Yeah, yes. I would,
and you now find out there's one with Hornswoggle.
Yes. So,
and I've seen a bit of that. And let me tell
does
you.
Does he throw him through a wall?
He doesn't hold back.
So you throw him into a ceiling fan?
I say this about Nick Gage. He does not hold back.
No.
And then you've got Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
And we won't talk about Randy Orton. There's very little to say. Mm. He was the deserter. He wanted to punch Pete when we met him.
Yeah.
But Mr. Kennedy is a sort of weird one. He was one of those guys who just, he was at a very high level. I mean, the very fact that he wins this match, this Money in the Bank, I believe, does he, I can't remember if he cashed in. Can't remember if he became a world champion.
Imagine doing that and then not cashing in.
His entire career, though, he was pushed really, really hard. And I don't think it left an impression on anybody who watched it.
Yeah.
He was there, I think, in WWE for 4 years. He's actually exactly my age. He's 43 now.
Oh.
And yet his run seems like a million years ago.
I can't believe he's so young there. Well,
I really
mean,
is.
Yeah,
I mean, like, he's like 30, 29. Yeah. And
he does not look to 39.
One 30, of those guys they've never brought back. He's never really... He went to TNA after his WWE run. He got fired from WWE. He says because Randy Orton went to Vince McMahon and said, I had a match with Mr. Kennedy and he did a back body drop and it was very dangerous and it could have injured me and then my career would be over and I'm quite a big star.
Mm.
And apparently Randy Orton then went to John Cena and said, John, I think you should back me up on this. And John Cena said, yes, I think he's also a sloppy worker. And so Vince McMahon fired him.
Right.
So he felt that they bullied him and they'd kicked him out. He was later released from TNA for testing positive for some drugs. And he mentioned that he'd taken steroids all through his career, apart from the period where he was in WWE. He said that was the one time he didn't. He had Eddie Guerrero's last match before Guerrero's death. That's probably one of the things he's best known for. He was in the WWE-produced film Behind Enemy Lines Columbia, which I think is Behind Enemy Lines 2.
Two, right.
He played Master Chief Petty Officer Carter Holt. I mean, it really is like a generate your own American action script. He was originally, his real name is Ken Anderson, and he was down in the developmental territory quite early on in his career, and Paul Heyman spotted him, and he had basically gone to Vince McMahon and said, this guy shows a lot of the similarities on the mic and in the ring as Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. And they really, really rated his mic ability.
Yeah.
He didn't really have a gimmick. He just had a thing where a microphone came down and he'd introduce himself and go, Kennedy! There'd be a pause and he'd go, Kennedy! And that was it. That was his gimmick. He was sort of obnoxious and strange. He was called Kennedy because he was originally, when they first brought him in, he was called Mr. Anderson, which is his real name. And then they were like, oh, well, we've got the famous Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson. So they said, we'll change his name to Mr. Kennedy. So he became Ken Kennedy. And Kennedy was chosen by Paul Heyman because it was Vince McMahon's middle name. So that was a sort of weird thing where the boss is giving his name to someone and then they sort of protect him in a weird way, almost because it's like, well, it's my name and I'm the boss. It's just madness. Yeah. It's just madness.
I liked it when he jumped off the ladder with Hornswoggle and flipped.
Well, do you know what? I did watch that bit.
It was very dangerous.
It really was. He puts some Hornswoggle when they're up the ladder in a sort of fireman's carry, and then he does a somersault. And now Randy Orton said, oh, he's sloppy and he's a bit reckless. Mm. And watching that bit, I was like, fuck me, is he? Jesus Christ, he just dives onto the floor and squishes the fuck out of Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
There's no sense of I'm going to protect Hornswoggle at my own expense. Mm. He's just like, I'm going to dive off this and this little guy is going to break every moment of my fall.
Oh,
so I did watch that and I did think, oh, that was a bit shitty. you big shit. In June 2014, he and the comedian David Vox Mullen started the Push the Button podcast. It covers topics such as religion, sex, and politics. That sounds absolutely fucking awful.
Sounds brilliant.
I did sort of like see that. I just thought, oh God, imagine that, an American comic, which we, as discussed before on this show, are the worst in the world, and with no exceptions, and an American wrestler talking about religion and sex.
Why isn't Randy Orton his brother involved? Is it Randy Orton's brother?
Yes, it is, yeah. Nathan Orton.
He's a terrible stand-up.
Nathan Orton and Mr. Kennedy together on a podcast. I would love to hear that. Both of them slagging off Randy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Edge comes out, and you can see within like the 10 seconds of his introduction, just he is this biggest
star. He's bought a new jacket.
He has.
Bought a new steampunky kind
of jacket. With the money he's made from his big feud with Matt Hardy. but he is really, really over. There's a little bit I really like where CM Punk brings out a tiny little stepladder.
That's funny. That was one of my favourite bits.
It's really good.
He goes, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, this fucking thing tomorrow.
But it's also really sort of like squat and dense. So you get hit with it. It's not going to be like a ladder where it's sort of like, well, it'll bend at the top.
Yeah.
You know, this is just like, ow. That was literally like being hit by a fucking brick. That's terrible. But this is a sort of good one because there are lots of little bits where there are some sort of big high spots through the ladders and off the ladders. But what it isn't is like the previous ones we've seen where people are just going left, right, centre, a car crash in midair.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy on Edge was horrible, but that was a low, you know, that was
that's the most horrible thing. If you're Jeff Hardy, you must have that thing of, you know, when they say, so we're going to have you in the Money in the Bank thing, you know, it's going to be, you know, you're not going to win, but you're going to be spectacular. You're just like, they're basically saying, and this is the bit where you do the thing that's really dangerous, you know, where that's what we've got you here for, all right? You know, let's cut to the chase. We want you to dive through the floor with your face, you know, every single year. I sort of felt for him there. Kennedy wins this one. It's a really sort of flat ending. It's he sort of gets up, it takes him a bit too long to get the briefcase. And I think everyone's like, oh, well, something's going to happen to stop him winning.
Yeah, no, he's just having real trouble getting it off the hook, isn't he? Has anyone, because I think it's Edge that goes up in the first 5 seconds of the match. Yeah. And he's almost got his hands on it.
Yeah.
Has anyone in one of those ladder matches ever just got it in the first 5 seconds? That would really make me laugh.
They really should do that. They should do it because what it says is it sort of, it just sort
it
of goes.
It could go any moment.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. Because we know we're just watching men over 40 being unable and somehow forgetting to how to climb a ladder. Yeah. Because that's what it is all the time.
I've always said they should just do a thing where if they don't announce what the time limits are, what's the third match here? Carly versus Kane. Mm. Why is it all wrestling matches, like, you know, if they're main events, they're 21 minutes.
Yes.
And if they're not main events, then they're between 7 and 11. Mm. Why don't they just go once, just go, Carly versus Kane is going to go for an hour and 20, right? And then people will begin to sort of go, right.
What's happening?
Didn't expect that. That'd be, you know.
Carly wouldn't.
No, I mean, both of them will be dead by the end of it. Kennedy does a really good promo afterwards, which I was sort of like, I was really watching it, just going, can't believe they let that guy win. I mean, so 2007, so, you know, just rubbish and stuck in the doldrums. And then he came out and did a promo, and I was like, shit, this guy's really good. I was really surprised by how good it was. They also have a little clip from The Condemned, which was their WWE film with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Enjoyable bit of promotional material.
Wasn't it? There was a line in there, and like, when it came on again, like Mr. Kennedy, I was like, oh God, you know, Jesus Christ, who wants to watch this? It's like some awful bloody ripoff of a Battle Royale, you know, Jesus, or, you know, one of those other films like Battle Royale. And I literally tried to think of one, I couldn't.
Battle Royale is the same as Hunger Games.
Yes, that's it. This, you know, and it comes out, and they just like, here's an exclusive little clip, and it properly made me laugh. And the line was just, "Where are you from?" Alaska. Whereabouts? A little town called Fuck Your Mother. It's so witless and good.
little fishing town called fuck your mum.
I really want to watch that film now. I really do. I really do. WrestleMania Dogs and also let's
all of
just
the WWE
do...
films, yeah.
Absolutely.
None of the good ones.
None of the good. Well, no WWE film is good. So then we get Carly versus Kane. The era of Carly starts
here.
Is
here. 5 minutes.
Fantastic. Goes
and
Austin,
30 seconds.
Rock, Triple H, Cena, Carly, and then it stops. We are still in the Carly era. We're all his children.
In his fat man joggers.
Yeah. Already killed one man in the ring by the time this match rolls around. Some reason still doing it.
Still allowed. Still allowed to do it.
If you killed someone on the football ramble.
Right, yeah.
You'd have to be off for a few months.
Can I choose? you'd take a leave of absence, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. No.
Where had Carly killed someone?
Well, he was working at a small American federation called AAPW. I can't remember. Please, if you're AAPW and you're not involved in the death of Brian, please, you know, just accept the fact that I'm absolutely useless at writing down what your federation was called. But he did a sort of a flapjack on another student, and the guy landed badly on his head and eventually sort of passed out and passed away very quick succession. It was an accident, obviously, but there's again, you know, it's I believe that the family did sue the federation that was responsible for the training, and they did win a sizable amount of money,
so
as you would hope and expect. But It is a funny thing of being a wrestler who has killed someone in the ring. You know, they are actually very few people who have done that. I believe Big Daddy is one, of course, who Malcolm King Kong Kirk had a heart attack after a Big Daddy splash.
Right.
Even back in like when that happened in the 80s, all the tabloids reported that he died because of the splash.
Right.
Really sort of mad. The wrestling sort of going, well, you know, oh, is it fake? Is it?
Man,
fake, is it?
Died.
Yeah. Big Daddy is a murderer. Yeah. Very strange. Carly, by this point, this match rolls around. He's been in the WWE for a year.
Right.
Which is why you see the audience looking anxious when the match starts, and you know, and they are just, I mean, beyond the fact that he is a remarkable human specimen.
Yeah.
You do not want to see him do wrestling, and he really can't. Jim Ross is straight in there with his dog whistle. This is going to be Bone and Shoe Ugly, folks.
Yeah.
And it's not even sort of like ugly. It's just rubbish. He's doing nerve holds and he headbutts, and again, stuff that if I put you in WrestleMania now and I said, Pete, all I'm going to do is I'm going to shout a move and you have to do it. And I was going, hit him on the back.
Yeah.
Headbutt.
Yeah.
You can do what Carly does, right. You know. And that's really
he
how
he would
I
be less impressive looking.
Yeah, I mean,
if I was wearing his joggers, maybe. And he's slipping and sliding all over the gap.
Here he comes, BJ Punk. He does the classic Andre stuck in the ropes moment. And the crowd sort of really go, oh! And I think that's because they're sort of going, he managed to do that. He actually managed to do something.
Oh, he opened the turnbuckle.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah. Like, yeah, pulled that. Yeah. You know, like, oh, what a feat of strength.
George the Animal Steel.
Like George the Animal Steel, right?
Didn't eat it.
Didn't eat it. The coward.
Did coward.
Kane comes out with a hook and a chain.
Oh, yeah.
And that is because that's in the WWE film, See No Evil.
Right.
He plays a maniac who, I think, blinds people with a hook and a chain. So when that comes out, you're supposed to sort of go, hey, I'll rent that film. All these films around this time, they are ploughing millions into them. They are crazy in that they've sort of got this period where they're going, you know, we are such a successful company. There's no reason we can't take on Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. There's so many reasons. And yet they do it for a 10-year period. I think a tiny amount of their films make money. Everything loses money. Mm. But it's just a weird thing at this WrestleMania where they're constantly referencing them. They're still like, this might work. Like when the XFL first launched back in, you know, Christ, 2000 and
that was
whatever
the
it was.
Extreme Football League.
Yeah, which Vince McMahon has actually brought back recently.
What makes it extreme? Is it hooks and chains again?
Well, when they first started it, they were like, we're going to be like, no, you know, no, none of this namby-pamby padding, and it's going to be really... And people were like, well, we are not playing without the padding.
No,
so
it's not
became
how it works.
Less extreme as it went on. I think the idea was also there'd be sort of saucy ladies.
Oh, hello.
Wouldn't you like to see some of those?
Pom-poms.
Yeah, exactly. It was so extreme. But when that first came out, that was all over WWE programming. And it just takes a while for the sort of first quarter profit like table to come back in before it begins dampening down a bit and you can get back to business as usual. Yeah. Carly here, you know, he beats Kane and he pins him with a single foot on him. I think that's probably because Carly would not have been able to get up very easily from the pin. But what it does is Kane has been there for years and he's a monster.
Yeah.
And so when you beat him really decisively, you're both going, oh, Carly is the new monster. Mm. But you're going, Kane is really, you know, you've stripped him of everything there as a character.
Yeah.
They then have Carly beat him up at the end and then he doesn't do anything and he just sort of hobbles out. And it was really like, Jesus Christ. I mean, dress him up as a fucking little sailor boy and kiss him on the lips when you leave, you know? You will watch this match and you will go, Jesus Christ, he cannot perform in the ring, Carly. The audience were absolutely silent through the whole of it. So naturally, within the next 2 months, they would make him the face of SmackDown. He would pin Shawn Michaels and then he'd win the world championship.
Nice.
He would be in WWE for another decade.
He can't talk, though.
He can't. Two little things I found about Carly. Firstly, his diet is unclear.
His diet is unclear. Is he like one of those old school kind of wrestlers?
No, he's
who
done
like,
some...
I eat 10,000.
Well, he is slightly in that. He did different interviews where he told a lot of people that he maintained his size on a purely vegetarian diet.
Right.
But then he did a load of other interviews saying that he eats vast quantities of chicken. So someone in India basically sort of said, you know, would you like to settle this debate once and for all?
Yeah.
Carly did settle it. He said he loves vegetarian food, but also consumes chicken. So there you are. And the other thing he was, he was actually on Big Boss in India. And Big Boss is the Indian version of Big Brother.
Right, okay.
And it runs throughout all the different sort of territories of India. So you have a Hindi version, a Tamil version. There's all these different ones. Mm. But he was on Big Boss. He finished as the first runner-up, which meant he was in the house for 4 months.
4 months?
So Great Carly
bloody
in
hell.
Big Boss, 2010-11. They had to make a bed specifically for him. So I have never seen any of this.
No.
I desperately want to see an English translation version of Carly's 4 months in Big Boss. That would make... If you think I wouldn't buy it, mate, I bought 18 DVDs of Rollable Rocker.
There must be.
Two of those DVDs are just documentaries from old satellite channels that you haven't heard of anymore.
There must be some kind of system, like auto-generated subtitles that can translate what he's saying.
Can somebody please send me a torrent link for Carly's appearance on Big Boss? Big is spelt, of course, with two G's.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, he said, I remember my friend Craig, Mr. Friend Craig, got me a cameo recording of him wishing us a happy new year.
He does end up saying something about WrestleMe, doesn't he?
Yeah,
which
he goes,
is against the terms of those.
He doesn't care, does he?
No, but also
recently.
Oh, that's why we've never played it out, really, is it? Isn't it? We've never done it because it sort of is that thing of it'd be like getting Brutus the Barber Beefcake and saying, "Hi, could you please say Happy Christmas to my podcast WrestleMe? That is actually my name."
Yeah,
very dishonest. We got a little a vignette as well, which, do you want to save it for next time? Because it's the best thing on this fucking WrestleMania.
Let's start next episode with it, because it is my favourite thing on this WrestleMania, apart from Dusty Rhodes. All right, then. WrestleMania Mark.
WrestleMania Pete.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.